Luke chapter number 8, and then Mark chapter 5, not Matthew, Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read both of the accounts of the same story. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. Then they that fed them saw what was done. They fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, came to Jesus, and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them that by what means he was that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I'm going to read the same thing over in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of him, the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Let's pray, and then we'll go on today with this message. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open the Bible and to read and to hear what your word says. And pray that you would help me now to convey what your word is teaching and what your Holy Spirit would have said today. Help us to hear from you. Help the young people here to listen. Help every adult to listen. Help us all to hear and to listen with clarity and understanding. And may the unsaved person be saved. And may the person who is saved be encouraged. And may us all see what you'd have us to see today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter number 8 again and Mark chapter 5. We'll be looking at both of these together. But we see, first of all, this man, this, as some have called, the maniac of Gadara. I heard it said one time that, you know, this man, he was naked. He was not welcome at home. He was living in the cemetery. He was living in the tombs. He was cutting himself with rocks and stones, and they tried to bind him with chains, and he would break the chains. And I want you to see, first of all, sin's control. When I was a teenager, I heard a youth evangelist stand up, and he said, the title of my message is A New Dude in a Rude Mood. That got our attention. But that's exactly what this guy was. He was crazy. He was weird. He was strange. He was not somebody you'd want as a next-door neighbor. But I want you to see here sin's control, first of all. He was out of control. Satan and his devils had possessed him. You know, over in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, there's a word used called sorceries. And, of course, nowadays we're seeing Disney and other places are making witchcraft to be supposedly acceptable. But it's all witchcraft. It's all wickedness. And the word sorcery, forgive me if I have to take a drink once in a while because of this cold I'm fighting, but the word sorcery, literally, the Greek word that is translated into English is pharmacia. Now, what does pharmacia sound like? Drugs. Pharmacy. Pharmaceutical. Hey, when we read this story, we say, boy, I'm glad that kind of stuff doesn't happen in this country. Oh, friend, it does. And drugs are the gateway to all of this. And I don't know how this man got here, but he had a legion of devils. And it says that 2,000 swine were possessed of the devils that came out of him. So there was at least 2,000 devils in him. And I don't know how it starts, but it starts with a little bit of nonsense, a little bit of wickedness, and it gets worse. And drugs are a huge epidemic in this country, along with a lot of other things. Please understand that drugs sometimes are very legal in our country. During the Super Bowl commercials, you're going to see, if you were to watch it, millions and millions of dollars paid for a 30-second advertisement for a liquid that you can buy and drink. You all know which kind of a liquid I'm talking about. That liquid is a drug. But because of the high-paid lobbyists and the money that's invested and the money that's made off of it, it will never be illegal in this country again. God forbid, God barring a miracle from God. But we see all the wickedness and things that people bring upon themselves, and we see sin's control. He was out of control. He was naked. By the way, when people are in sin, they get naked. And nakedness is a sign of a lack of understanding and a lack of light within to understand that they're even naked in the first place. And so he was naked. He was without clothes. He was in bondage, even though he could break those chains. He was obviously in bondage. He was homeless. This is what sin does. He was not in control of his own life, obviously. He was miserable. Notice, Jada, that he's begging the one who can help him the most. He's begging him to leave. It's interesting that when you are caught up into this kind of wickedness and sin's control is about you, you despise the very one you need the most. There's a lot of people that need to hear this message today. They're not here. They don't want to hear. In fact, a lot of people are scared to come and listen to a message from the Word of God, about the Word of God, about Jesus Christ. It's a fearful thing to them. And notice, the devils were scared of Jesus Christ. I love the story. If you just read it, we're not going to take the time to dissect every aspect of it, but did you notice that they couldn't leave until he said, you can go? Did you notice they had to ask permission if they could go into the swine? And did you notice that they said, please don't cast us into the deep? Now, when you read that, you might think, well, they must have been asking, please don't send us into the water, put us into the pigs. Well, where did the pigs end up? In the water. Now, that's not what they were asking. Again, if you were to read in Revelation chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 20, you would find out that there's something called a bottomless pit. And that's what they were saying. Please don't send us there. And by the way, that's where all the devils are going to end up. And by the way, did you notice who's in charge? Who has power over them? Something you got to remember, Satan used to be Lucifer. And Lucifer was a created being from God. Now, Lucifer fell, and I won't go into all that. But what I want to point out here is that God and Satan are not equal. They don't have equal power and equal ability. But rather, Satan is under the control of God when God desires him to be defeated. And I am so thankful to know that. That's very encouraging. I don't have a God who's equally opposed to an enemy that has the same amount of power. That's not who I have. I have a God who, when the devils tremble, and we're talking thousands of them, and they're asking permission, can we go into the swine? Sure, go into the swine. The swine couldn't handle it, and they ran off of the cliff into the water. This man was out of control because he was demon-possessed. He was devil-possessed. Listen, friend, I believe that that's happening in our country. I believe that we have that going on in our world today. And young people, you allow the devil into your life, you'll regret it forever. When you give place to the devil, as the Bible says, and you open yourself up to things, there's Ouija boards, these games called Ouija boards. It's just satanic. There's movies, as I said earlier about Disney's, there's lots of, Disney is very infiltrated with all this filth and wickedness. They promote homosexuality, but they promote even worse things than that, in the satanic aspect and whatnot, spiritualism and all that sort of thing. And I'm just telling you, it's everywhere. And young people are watching this, and they're being encouraged with all this. They're being encouraged to read witchcraft, paraphernalia, and all this stuff. And they package, and it's packaged very nicely, and it's allowed into the books and into the libraries of schools. I know these girls sitting up here in the front have heard of Harry Potter, maybe even read some. I'm just trying to tell you that a lot of this stuff will enter you and get you interested into stuff you ought not be interested in. Watch out for it. I don't know how this all got into this man. I don't know how this took place. But this man was so filled with it that the devils did not want anything to do with Jesus, and the man himself is saying, please leave. And of course, it's the devil speaking through him. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I can imagine there were 12 guys standing there going, you know who 12 I'm talking about, right? Which 12? His 12 disciples who went over with him on the ship across Galilee. And this is basically the far shore. This would be the eastern shore of Galilee, basically, in Gadara. And they get out, and this naked guy, all cut and all weird and running around and crazy, runs up to him and starts talking, and maybe even has a weird voice, I don't know, and he's talking to Jesus. And I can just see all, ew, yuck, gross. Now, I'm sure that's how he was treated by everybody. This isn't somebody you invited to your birthday party. Sin's control. And we see it here. We see what sin does. Look again in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Crazy. Insane. What's wrong with him? Stay away from that person. Yuck. Now, I have a loving Savior who came over there and dealt with him. And so notice number two, a situation changed. A situation changed. You gotta love this. We've already read it, but let's look down here, verse 15, Mark 5:15. It says that Jesus, of course, in verse 13, gave the unclean spirits leave, and they left and went into the swine. The swine ran down into the water, we know that, verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. So the townspeople come out, they hear the story, they come out, they see him, he's sitting, middle of verse 15. They probably had never seen that before, just calmly sitting. Sitting, and they'd never seen this before either, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, a lot of pharmaceutical drugs, pharmaceutical drugs and prescriptions that are given, whole industries probably would be completely canceled if we just go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Down at the bottom, I put this in there, and if you can take a second to look down there, the world says education. The world says medication. The world says incarceration. But the Bible says salvation. The world says education. That'll fix it. Hey, let's throw more education. Let's throw more money at education. Does it fix it? They tried to bind him. They tried to help him at times. The world says medication. Does that fix it? The world says incarceration. The Bible says salvation. And here we see this man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Now, hold on a second. I'm gonna jump right to the second point here under situation changed. Who was afraid? The people were afraid. They ran out and they saw a normal guy sitting normally, wearing clothes, and in his right mind, and that scared them. Does that make sense? You know something? I've skipped over the point I was gonna make, and I'll make it in a minute. But you know something? Your new life scares people more than your old one. You get saved, and your life changes. That bothers them more. Man, we liked you before. You were so much fun before. You were entertainment before. And we enjoyed that life before. Now, you're scaring us. See, he was a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He was a new person. And that new person was scaring them. They didn't know what to think. What are we going to do with this? Listen to me. There are people, my relatives, I remember sometimes the way we would be treated. Why would we be treated oddly? Why would they act like we were odd? I remember one time I had some relatives. They wanted to treat us out for lunch. So they took us to the Royal Fork. Remember the Royal Fork? And they took us to the Royal Fork, and we all sat down, and we all got our food, and then they knew what our little routine was. Our routine was we prayed before we ate. And so they purposely got up and went and got their food while we were all sitting there, because they didn't want to be there while we prayed, while we ate. Look, all we were going to do is pray over our food. It wasn't like we were going to have some kind of weird ceremony or something. But they didn't. Okay, all right. And look, Jesus scares people. Did you notice who was scared of Jesus at first? The devils. Hey, may I suggest that maybe they didn't have as many devils in them, but they had some? We got a guy, he's running around naked. He drags chains because he breaks them and they can't keep him bound. He cuts himself. He's up on the mountain screaming and hollering. He's down in the tomb screaming and hollering. But he ain't near as scary as the guy that got right with God. We weren't near as scared of him as when he got clothed and in his right mind. I don't know why that is, but I just know that this world doesn't appreciate people who God has changed. Now, they're afraid. I don't know about you, but I've had relatives afraid. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Some of them try to go with like a halfway. They don't want that full-blown Christianity, so they try to dabble into a halfway Christianity. Some of them just don't want anything to do with it, but they don't want to talk about it. I was talking to the teenagers last week about when somebody at school says, "You're a Christian. You got one of those Bibles." I don't know if these girls, I know this girl takes her Bible to school. I've seen her do it. I don't know, maybe sometime down the road, somebody, young teenager, they're teenagers, and the young teenager says to the other teenager, "What do you carry that Bible? You read that Bible all the time." And they start making fun of you. And they start talking about how stupid that is and how lousy the Bible is. Here. Would you like to carry it? Oh, no. They would be too scared to death to have their friends see them carrying one of those. Listen, it takes some gumption. It takes a new life, a new creature, to have a desire to carry the Word of God with you. Not just physically the Bible, but in you, Jesus Christ. I think about when someone gets saved and their coworkers notice a change in their life. And they start to act odd around them. They can't enjoy themselves anymore. They're not fun anymore. Why? Because all of a sudden there's a preacher in the room. Right? Here comes the preacher. Right? Here comes the light that's bothering our darkness. You know what happens when you flip on a light? The cockroaches and the mice run. Here comes the light that's ruining our fun. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It really bothers them when Jesus is able to cast out devils. And think about that girl in the book of Acts when Paul was used to cast out that devil out of her. That bothered those people more than the fact that she was possessed with the devil. Situation changed. He became a new man, and that scared them. Notice something else about the situation. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Luke 8, 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Notice what it says. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Notice the change in what it does. It caused him to want to just sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Listen, I am not saying I'm Jesus Christ, but right now you're sitting and listening to the Word of God. You're sitting at the feet of the Word of God. You're listening. That's the desire of everyone who Jesus has changed. You have a desire to sit and listen to the Word of God. There's something there. I enjoy it. I want to hear more of it. I always enjoy it. And maybe you've read this story a million times, but there's just something exciting about hearing what Jesus has done and how it applies to our life and the desire to just sit and to learn and to gain more. I hate to do this because I don't want it to backfire in any way, but Treg is here. And I know he's very tired. He's taking care of these girls. He's working a lot of hours. He went all the way to Colorado and back. And sometimes he's kind of sleepy-eyed. But you know where he's always trying to be whenever he can be? Sitting where the Word of God is. There's just something about that. Now, notice, the townspeople didn't want to sit at the feet of Jesus. They weren't interested in that. As a matter of fact, they wanted Jesus to leave. Hey, you messed up this guy. Now think about that. He's now clothed. He's in his right mind. He's just sitting with the disciples. Whoa, we don't want you around here. We can't have your kind around here. But here he is sitting at Jesus' feet. I hope you'll take serious your opportunity, not just on a Sunday morning, but that you, our calendars are now a month old, our Bible reading calendars, but I wonder how many in here, you are up to date on your Bible reading. You're just sitting at the feet of Jesus every day. You're taking time to read his word and then let his word speak to your heart. And whenever the Word of God is open, you're there listening and gleaning and gaining more from it, sitting at Jesus' feet. That was his desire. Because notice what it says next. Both in Mark 5:18 and Luke 8:38, I'll read both. Mark 5:18, and when he was come into the ship, Jesus come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Jesus was leaving. And so he says, Lord, I want you to stay. I'd like to be with you. Can I go with you? Do you have room for one more in the boat? In Luke 8:38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Chapter 5 of Mark 5:18-19. He prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great. By the way, I've been to Decapolis. I've walked by the brothels. These are ancient now. They're 2,000 years old. But these stalls where they had the harlots stay. I walked through the ruins of Decapolis. And they just public brothels out there on the street. And it says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him and all men. How many men? All men did marvel. Third point. First point, sin's control. Second point, situation changed. Third point, Savior confessed. He wanted to stay with Jesus, which was only understandable. But he was told, you've got a mission. Did you know that you've got a mission? We watched this video of a missionary in Papua New Guinea. You don't have to go to Papua New Guinea to be a missionary. God wants us to go home. Notice he didn't have a home at the beginning of the story. He says, now you go home. Talk to your house. Talk to your own home. Tell them what's happened to you. Then also in Mark 5, go to your friends. Go to your friends. And publish throughout the whole city. Tell them. Now imagine. You think about it. Jesus said, I'm sure Jesus would have loved to have that guy in the boat as opposed to Judas. I'm sure Jesus probably was probably loving his attitude and his heart's desire to sit at his feet versus maybe Peter or Judas or maybe one of the others that might have been a little uptight about something. And here was this man saying, Jesus, can I please come with you? And Jesus said something to him, you got a job to do. You'll do me more good if you'll stay where you are and go back home and do what? Start your own business and sell shoes with a cross symbol on the sneaker. No? I'm just making that up. No. Go all around town and say, hey, remember me? You probably don't recognize me because I got clothes on. But it's me. I'm the guy that used to be crazy guy. See the scars where I cut myself all up? That's me. See the scars? Let me just put it in today's vernacular. See the pin needle marks on my arm where I used to shoot all that stuff in there? See this scar over here? What I used to do this over here? See the pictures of the craziness of my life? He was a walking advertisement for Jesus. He was a walking advertisement. Look, I understand if some of you might be ashamed of a tattoo or ashamed of something, but you know what? Don't be afraid. I'll never forget. I was in Wyoming years ago. I'll never forget. A man preached him with a suit coat like this on. He took off his suit coat. He rolled up his sleeves. And we didn't know it, but just underneath his nice white collar and his, he was tattooed from head to toe. And he just peeled back a little bit to show us. He said, I used to be this. I'm not proud of what I did to my body, but I used to be a different person than I am now. And Jesus was saying, you go home, because, by the way, home's the first place. You're ever going to serve the Lord, take care of your home first. So he said, you go home, and you take care of home. Then you go to your friends, and you publish. What's wrong with that? Publish your story. You ever hear the maniac of Gadara? You ever hear the guy that was out there on the mountaintop, howling at the moon? That was me. What happened? Jesus came. Nobody else wanted him. They all told him to leave. But he came and changed my life. Folks, I just want to encourage you, if you've got an awesome story to tell, tell it. You know what a witness is. Jesus said, you will be witnesses for me. What is a witness? A witness is somebody who witnessed something. You can't be a witness until you've witnessed something. And this man witnessed the change in himself. And obviously others witnessed it too. Be a witness. Allow your story to be a blessing and a challenge to others. This is why they didn't want Jesus around. This is why they were bothered. This is why they were upset. Why? Because this guy was changed and this Jesus is doing it. We can't have that around. Listen, Jesus left, but that man stayed. And that man kept talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to believe him? Are you going to trust him? He changed my life. He's just on the other side of the lake. Why don't you go find him? Go tell of the great things the Lord's done for you. Listen. Perish the thought that we're all supposed to grow up in just prim and proper goody-two-shoes homes. Because if we did, nobody but those who thought themselves eligible would ever even desire what we claim to believe. So much better if the Lord Jesus Christ reaches the maniacs of Gadara, reaches the crazy people, the people that used to run around naked, the people that used to do crazy things and used to scare people and used to harm themselves and their own family. And now God's changed them. Don't ever be ashamed of what God has done. If you're changed, share it. Because the world's still saying, education, medication, incarceration. Oh, by the way, the people who make their money on education, they scream education. The people who make their money on medication, they scream medication. There's people who make their money in incarceration. The answer is salvation. And it's free. It's free. What's our message to our neighborhood? What's our message to our world? Sin had control on me, but my situation's changed because I'm a new creature. And now I'm telling you, it's Jesus. It's not me. It's not some self-help group. It's Jesus Christ who makes the difference. You want to come find him? You want to come hear more about him? I can show you how to find him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed.